Woo! What a great day. Started off good. My wife was so proud of me because I tucked my shirt in this morning. Then what did I do? I got back there and laid my britches in the water. And now the seat of my pants is wet. But that's all right, ain't it? Y'all don't care. Y'all don't care if I get chafed. Chafe for the kingdom. That's going to be a book. But we're trying to start this series this summer on living with a margin. And after talking with several of you folks and kind of myself too, I've decided that biblically that we need to live with a margin in our lives. And so today we're going to start on talking about learning to slow down. I'm actually going to do two parts on it. But what is a margin? And I know it's been a couple of weeks since I've been here, but a margin is the definition, is the space I create between my load and my limits, which means what I have to do and then how much energy that I've got. Margin is simply having some breathing room in your life. Y'all want some breathing room? We got to be intentional about it, about putting breathing room into our life, so that you and I are not running on empty all the time. And we need margin in every area of our life: physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, our time. We need some margin in those areas, and we're going to look at each of those in this series. But today we're going to be learning to slow down the pace of your life. And today, if you want to get rich, just invent some sort of time-saving device, because they're popular, and because time is sort of a crunch in our lives. But the pace of our lives are getting faster and faster. Everybody's in a hurry, and they're multitasking. And really, today it seems like there's kind of no boundaries between even work and family life, because everybody's mobile. They got their phone with them and they're tied to it. I call mine my electronic leash. We got no boundaries. They encroach on our family time, because we live in such hurried and busy lifestyles. And the Bible is real clear about how living hurried lives affect us. And I want to start this off by giving you five quick things about what the Bible says, how always being in a hurry hurts you. Always being in a hurry hurts you. And they're damaging effects that you and I are going to have if we live a life without margin. Amen? Big damaging effects. Write these down real quick. Hurry increases my stress. Y'all believe that? Hurry. If y'all believe that, every time I say something you believe, which I believe should be every sentence, say amen. If I'm going to tell a lie, I'll tell you this is a lie. Hurry increases my stress. Amen. Can you become so busy that you don't have any time for yourself? Sure you can. Look what the Bible, Solomon says. I had no time to care for myself. I see some of you guys, you're in such hurry meeting everyone else's needs that you can't even take care of yourself. You're serving everyone else. And when you have no margin, you're always a day late and a dollar short. When you live with no margin. And that creates stress. When you're always in a hurry, your reserves get depleted. Your personal reserves, they get depleted. So it increases stress. The second thing hurry does is this. Hurry decreases my joy. Hurry decreases my joy. The faster you move, the less time that you have to enjoy life. You don't have time to enjoy life the faster you move. We want to get there quick. We want to fly instead of ride. We want to ride instead of bike. We want to bike instead of walk. And we miss out on so much. This, I was telling the elders, this has been my kind of verse that I've been dealing with this week. Job 9:25. My days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. Without my seeing any joy. They go by fast. Hurry, hurry just decreases my joy. The third thing is this. Hurry makes me less productive. Can I get an amen on that? We think because we're in a hurry or we're multitasking that we get more done. That's a myth. There's been study after study has shown that it's just not true. You don't get more done by multitasking. You don't get more done by hurry. It just doesn't work. You might think that you're good at multitasking. Sometimes I think I am. But you and me, we're just kidding ourselves. We're not getting as much done. Because you know why? We're not working at our full capacity. Your brain just can't do it. You're not fully functional. You're not fully effective. I can tell you the difference between a woman that put on her makeup at home and then one in the car. Amen? One eyebrow way up here. Oh, you did your makeup on the way to work, didn't you? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody's getting cheated when you hurry. Somebody's getting cheated when you're pressured and you're multitasking. Here's one reason. Proverbs 19 says, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? I tear up more stuff when I'm in a hurry. I forget more stuff when I'm in a hurry. I lay my pants in the water when I'm in a hurry. Long-lasting, creative people know how to pace themselves. Look at Proverbs 21:5. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Hurrying, multitasking, it just doesn't work. I want you to write this down here. I can't keep charging without recharging. I can't keep charging without recharging. It took me a long time to come to this. People aggravate me all the time about taking off once a month and go camping with my wife. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm recharging. I think I'm a better pastor for doing this. And I think you are benefited from folks like Mike and Andrew and Jeff and everybody else who speaks, Demetrius. I think you folks are benefited by that. Amen? Amen. And then you get to see me as I want to last another 20 years. And I need to be recharged, but so do you. You need to stop and recharge your life. Next thing is this. Hurry dries up my love. Hurry dries up my love. Because when you get in a hurry, you start skimming relationally. Y'all see what I'm talking about? The people that pay for it the most when you're in a hurry are the ones close to you and that you love. They pay for it. They pay for it. You work late. You cover for the mistakes that you made because you're in a hurry. And you bite their head off. You blame them. Your relationships suffer. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, without love, I am no good to anybody. Without love, I'm no good to anybody. Guys, when you and me, when we're in a hurry, our relationships get the short end of the stick. You got to build some margin in your life. You don't arrive everywhere late. Guess what? Your relationships suffer. They suffer. Next one is this. Hurry keeps me from hearing God. Hurry keeps me from hearing God. Write this down too. Hurry is the death of prayer. Amen. Hurry is the death of prayer. Because we got to be quiet to hear God's voice. We can't hear him in a hurry. We can't hear him when we're multitasking and carrying on and we don't have any margin. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Y'all done heard that 2 weeks in a row. Be still and know that I am God. If you don't have any still, quiet time in your daily schedule, then you are not hearing from God. If you're not intentional about it, setting aside some time. We walk around with earbuds. We walk around Bluetooth. We walk around Snapchatting, Facebooking. We are wired. And if God wanted to call us, he'd get a busy signal. You don't want these negative stress-causing things in your life. Amen? They just cause stress. Stress. I talked to somebody the other day for 5 minutes. Then they go, "What'd you say?" "Never mind." And God's trying to talk to us, and we're busy with earbuds. I didn't just call them earbuds, but I'm talking about busyness and no margin. We're busy. Now, we're going to talk about five things of what you need to learn to slow your pace for a healthier life. I'm only going to talk about one today because I'm slowing my pace. I'm going to let y'all go somewhat earlier. Amen? We're just going to give an overview. We're going to talk about these things again, but I'm just giving you an overview today. The rest of the day is an overview of one. First step is this: learn to be content. I felt this one was important. I wanted to be by itself. We need to learn this to slow our pace for a healthier life. Learn to be content. And I love this verse, Philippians 4:11. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. You know what that tells me when I read it? We are not naturally contented. We weren't born contented. By nature, you and I are naturally discontented. That's by nature. You and I are not happy with everything in our life. Amen? Amen. We're not happy. But we want to learn it, don't we? We can learn it. We have to learn it, I should say. To be content, we have to learn it. So say this with me. Contentment can be learned. If contentment can be learned, we can unlearn discontentment. Amen? We can unlearn discontentment. So we're going to learn contentment. And if you're serious about slowing down the pace of your life, you're going to have to deal with some of the motives or the values that drive your discontentment. You're going to have to deal with those motives. You're going to have to stop your constant push for more. So the question is this. Write this down because I want you to answer it this week. This is why I just want to focus on one thing. What keeps you pushing for more? What keeps you pushing for more? What keeps you pushing for more activities in your life? What keeps you pushing for more achievements? What keeps you pushing for more money? What keeps you pushing for more experiences that you can check off your bucket list? What keeps you pushing? But now, I want to tell you, I'm going to throw this in there. There's nothing wrong with ambition. It's how we get things done. But ambition out of control is a destructive force. You get me? It's a destructive force. In our society today, we don't know the meaning of slow down. We don't know the meaning of stop. We don't know the meaning of quiet. We want to push. When Luke was learning how to ride a bicycle, we know Luke, he likes to push the boundaries. He likes to step across them. But I put a stop sign midway down the driveway so he wouldn't wind up in the road. Because I knew he would go there. He would push. He didn't know I was looking one day. He drove his bicycle down to the stop sign. He looks back at the house. He can't see me because I'm stalking him through the bush. You know what he does? We do this. We don't know how to stop. We don't know how to slow down. We're going to just step across the line just a little bit. We don't know how to be quiet. We don't know how to be calm. Ambition, I want you to think about this. Ambition can be motivated by or driven by a lot of unhealthy motivation. It really can. You can be motivated by fear. You can be, and I can be motivated by insecurity. We can be, our ambitions can be motivated by jealousy. We can be motivated out of guilt or even revenge or anger. You and me, we can be motivated to prove something to our parents. And they may not even be alive and you're still trying to prove something to them. We can be motivated to be ambitious because of somebody else. We can be motivated by our ego. You can even be motivated by rage. Just because you're ambitious doesn't mean it's a good thing. So my question for you, are you motivated by love or some of this other destructive stuff? Honestly answer yourself that. Honestly answer that. The most common thing that I found over the 20 years as your pastor that causes people to overwork, causes people to fill up their schedules, and it, number one, is insecurity. Simply longing for belonging. To keep pushing. Folks are longing, 50, 60 year old men are longing for approval. That's not good motivation. You think, you know, I've met women before that it don't take long to find out that people will love me more if I accomplish more. If I do more. We think we can prove our worth by our work. And I'm going to tell you, as long as you confuse your work with your work, you're going to be hurried and you're going to be overloaded. Your worth as a woman or your worth as a man has nothing to do with your work. Nothing. It's not what you do, but who you are. You were created by God. God made you. Jesus died for you. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's why you're priceless. That's why you're valuable. I want to tell you, the starting point is not simply reducing your activities to slow down, because you'll quickly find a replacement. Quickly. For those activities that you stopped. The starting point is having a healthier pace in life is to be content with who you are. The starting point in having a healthier life is who you are and what you have. What you have. That's the first thing that you're going to have to learn, is to be content with who you are and what you got. We're going to come back to this in this series. Ecclesiastes 4:6, this is important stuff. It is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. We might could put that in some wrap. Chicken, did you get that? Where you at? There you are. Remember that. It is better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. That's good, ain't it? You know, I found out your nickname was Chicken this week. That's JJ. JJ's nickname is Chicken, if y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, son. That's my gift. My spiritual gift is aggravation. Amen. But you have to ask yourself the simple question, this: will doing more make me happy? Will doing more make me happy? Another question you need to ask yourself is this: will having more make me more happy? Will having more make me more happy? Will being more make me happy? No. None of those are going to make you happy. Because if you're not happy with what you got right now, you're not going to be happy with what you got 10 years from now. You're just not going to be there. Another key to contentment is this, and we're going to talk about this some more. Stop comparing your life to other people. The Bible says that is stupid. Also known as dumb. Also known as goofy. You should never compare your life to anybody else. Proverbs 14:30 says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life, but jealousy rots it away. Rots it away. Jealousy, envy. It's just, I want what they have. I want to be like them. I want to look like him. I want to look like her. I want to have notoriety like they do. Jealousy rots your life away. Rots it away. It's the opposite of a relaxed attitude. When I have envy, when I have jealousy, when I start comparing, it inevitably leads to envy, and my life begins to rot away when I compare myself to other people. Amen? It'll rot. I'm telling you, comparing and contentment are enemies of each other. They're enemies. And we got to stop this comparing. But the problem is, we got more comparison today than in the history of mankind because of two words. Write this down. You know why we have more comparison today? The problem is more than any other kind. Social media. Social media. That's why we got more comparing going on than any other time. Social media is a comparison trap. It's a trap. Every time you read it, every time you look at it, you're comparing. Who got more likes? Did I get more likes? Is their vacation better than mine? All we get is the pictures where everything's going good. We didn't get the pictures where so-and-so ain't ready and everybody's fussing. Amen? And I know that happened. Tell me. Didn't it, chicken? I got you now. We look and see, did anybody friend me? Did anybody defriend me? Did anybody pat me on the back? I'm telling you guys, when you have to constantly check social media and how people are reacting and seeing how other people are going in their so-called perfect life, which is pretty much fake. He's not showing the real them. You know what I'm talking about? Here's what social media is. It's like going out on a date. You know what I'm talking about? You look your best. You smell your best. You talk your best. You dress your best. And it really ain't the real you. It's just what you do on the date. That's why there's a whole lot of letdown when we get married. Then you get the real you. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what goes on. Social media is a trap of Satan to get you to compare. And when Satan gets you to compare, you lose contentment. Amen. Let's be serious for a moment. Amen. It's a trap to get us to compare. And then when we're not where we think we ought to be, where they should be, we hurry. We hurry and we worry. You and I are going to have to learn to be content. As the band comes up, I want to leave you with this thought. Who you are is more than good enough. You are a child of the King. You have a unique purpose. God has set every one of you and me apart. We have a plan for our life. You are who you are. And you need to be comfortable and content with that. And slow your pace. Slow up so you can hear God. Be still. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the church that you've called me to pastor and to teach and entrusted them. Lord, I pray that the truth will be applied to our lives, not just them, but me too. That this week I try to learn even more about being content, that I don't compare myself with others. Thank you, Lord. I know it was you now that broke my Facebook app that I can't get to it on my phone. And I thank you. As we slow down this week, most of all, I pray that each and every one of us in here set aside some time that we be still and we hear your voice so that we can fulfill that purpose that you have for our lives. We love you, and it's in the mighty